Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Knowledgeable.
Listen, here's what's wrong with your hypothesis, your theorem, your supposition, your postulate.
Honest.
If that front ain't in gangsta, your back end won't be able to show its full potential.
Understanding.
You're going to suck. You're going to suck for the next couple of years.
Passionate.
I'm all over social media. I live it.
This is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hashtag facts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Now, here's Kevin.
I am. I'm truly frustrated. I'm beyond frustrated. You know, and part of it is, and the reason I walked in with the mask on is, you know, I'm immune deficient. Okay, so with this new variant, who knows? So when I'm in a group and the group's not vaccinated or there's mixture, I put the mask on. And I do that, you know, for health reasons, because nobody really knows. And so I have to do that. And I just wish and I hope that our guys can understand that.
That was Ron Rivera yesterday in his press conference before training camp got underway, with some players on the PUP list, with some players testing positive for COVID-19, and with a report out that Nikki Javala, I think, was the first to have, that Washington continues to be the lowest vaccinated team in the league, 60% as of July 26th, the lowest in the league. And you heard Ron Rivera there say, I'm truly frustrated, I'm beyond frustrated. Part of the reason I walk in with a mask on is I'm immune deficient. I just hope that our guys can understand that, closed quote. Immune deficient because he had cancer about a year ago. Beat cancer. And with no quarterback and a team with no name, took it to the playoffs. Good morning, everybody. What a busy day yesterday after the show, Brendan. My God, I mean, Simone Biles dropped out. It was sort of towards the end of the show. They signed Logan Thomas. We had the Rivera presser. We had the vaccination story. We had everything that was going on in other teams. Alex Ovechkin signing a deal. The Nats with all the trade discussion. Trey Turner is out last night due to COVID, pulled from the game. Lots going on, including this morning on the show, Ron Rivera. Now, I'll give you a heads up. We recorded this interview yesterday, right when the show was over. So a lot of the stuff about the team vaccination rates, in fact, I did ask him about vaccination rates, and he gave sort of a very non-answer to the question, and, you know, that was it. The story about the current state of the team's vaccination rate being the lowest in the league wasn't out yet. His reaction to it wasn't out. A lot of the reaction that came afterwards, including late last night from TJ Ward, remember him? Pretty good safety in the league, not in the league anymore. But TJ Ward, I'll get to what he said, because it blew up the internet late last night. I saw it very early this morning. But good morning to everybody. Before Ron Rivera, Michael Phillips from the Richmond Times-Dispatch will be with us at 7:30. Always love catching up with Michael before a season begins and during the season and during the offseason. And Michael, being a Richmond writer, we'll have a sense of what the Richmond response will be to training camp. Michael had something also about a week ago about ticket sales for the opener against the Chargers, which will be here before we know it. But I want to start, because we are going to have, again, you're going to hear my conversation with Ron Rivera yesterday, and we'll obviously have a lot of a football conversation, not a vaccination conversation. But I do want to start with these comments from Ron Rivera and the team's vaccination rate, because I am wondering whether or not this has a chance to be not a splitter of the team or a major divider of the team, but a bit of a nuisance here for the team. We've already discussed the fact that this could work as a competitive disadvantage for the team. It doesn't mean that it will. Last year, there was no vaccine. There were similar protocols. And Washington was one of the cleanest teams of the year in terms of getting through a season with only one game postponed and rescheduled. And that was because of the opponent and one of their opponents. The Pittsburgh game was rescheduled for that Monday afternoon at 5 p.m. because the Baltimore-Pittsburgh Thanksgiving night game was postponed and played on the following Wednesday, and they wanted to give Pittsburgh one more day to rest and be recovered for their game against Washington, which was scheduled for a Sunday at 1, got moved to a Monday at 5. But Washington had a pretty good season in keeping people out of COVID protocol, keeping people away from COVID, and all the while their coach battling cancer, which was crucial for him, that there wasn't an outbreak anywhere near the building. With that said, a lower vaccination rate overall for a team will put that team, as from a probability standpoint, at a competitive disadvantage to teams with higher rates. It, again, doesn't guarantee anything. Doesn't mean that Washington will end up having an outbreak. Doesn't mean they'll end up losing players to practices and games. Doesn't mean that they will forfeit a game. Doesn't mean they'll forfeit a game which will count as a loss and cost the franchise potentially millions and millions of dollars and salaries and game checks for players not only on their team, but the team they're playing. Doesn't mean it'll end up being that. But I wonder right now, with what the coach said, if there is pushback among those 40% that haven't gotten vaccinated. By the way, to make this clear, 60%, according to Nikki Javala, have had at least one shot. I believe that is the hold on, I'm just looking at this one more time. I believe the 60% is of players who are either fully vaccinated or have had one shot of a two-shot vaccination, which would mean 40% of the team hasn't decided yet whether or not to get the vaccination. Lowest in the league. As of July 26, Washington had the lowest player vax rate in the NFL, with 60% having received at least one dose. So that means 40% of the team hasn't even received one dose. Now, what I would love to know, and I have not read any information about, is how many of the players that recently got vaccinated got the one-dose Johnson & Johnson. That seems to be the preference with athletes, to get it over with quickly so that they are then immediately eligible to participate without all of the protocols in place, without all of the rules related to COVID in place. As most of you know who have been vaccinated, the Moderna and the Pfizer shots are two-shot series, and you wait nearly 3 weeks or so to get that second shot. The Johnson & Johnson, with a lower efficacy rate, somewhere in the mid-70s, is a one-shot dose. By the way, the overall numbers in the league right now, with Washington at 60% having received at least one dose, the overall is that 84% of NFL players are at least partially vaccinated, meaning they've gotten at least one shot if they're in the two-shot Moderna-Pfizer program. 10 teams have at least 90% of their players vaccinated. Washington is at the lowest end. They have a head coach who battled cancer, beat cancer last year, coached the team, probably deserves a lot of credit for getting through that without having to leave work for a significant period of time. And by the way, leading the team to a division title with no name and no quarterback. The numbers are disappointing if you believe in the vaccine. They're disappointing if you believe in the vaccine and believe in your body, your choice, which is what I believe in. But I'm still disappointed because when you're part of a team and all you have to do is get a shot to ensure that your team has a better chance of being competitive this year, and you've got a head coach who is immune deficient, it's disappointing that that number isn't higher. It's disappointing that the team's gone out of their way to inform and educate a lot of these players who have already probably in their lives gotten 3 to 4 different vaccines without them even knowing it. But again, I'm not here to vaccine shame because I don't really care about that. This is a different conversation when you are a part of a team and your inaction leads to a potential competitive disadvantage and potential loss of paycheck for your teammates. And for players on the bubble, a loss of an opportunity for a job, more likely than not. Does this have a chance of being an issue with this team? Ron Rivera didn't sound happy. He sounded frustrated. Brendan, play that again, if you will. Play Ron Rivera being asked about these low vaccination rates, the low report, lowest in the league. Ron Rivera disappointed.
I am. I'm truly frustrated. I'm beyond frustrated. You know, and part of it is, and the reason I walked in with the mask on is, you know, I'm immune deficient. Okay, so with this new variant, who knows? So when I'm in a group and the group's not vaccinated or there's mixture, I put the mask on. And I do that, you know, for health reasons, because nobody really knows. And so I'm, you know, I have to do that. And I just wish and I hope that our guys can understand that.
It's just, look, going into a training camp that everybody's so positive about, and everybody wants to focus just on Chase Young, Montez Sweat, John Allen, Matt Ioannidis, Jamin Davis, William Jackson III, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, who started the season yesterday on the PUP list. Apparently not a serious injury. He should be off that at some time soon. But Ron Rivera was frustrated yesterday. He doesn't understand it. This is a guy, by the way, who is a player's coach. This is a guy, by the way, who probably leans conservative in many of his overall personal views. I think we have been able to deduce that over the first year. But this is a guy that doesn't understand why 40% of his players at this point haven't taken at least one shot. And for him, he considers it a risk to his personal health. There was a tweet last night from TJ Ward. TJ Ward, longtime NFL safety. I did not realize until last night that he was actually out of the league. TJ Ward on Ron Rivera's comments yesterday. Just park the riverboat. His health is beyond that of COVID. Maybe it's time to let it go. Now that's a little bit cryptic. The next one isn't. Don't blame the players for your lifelong health decisions. He was responding to the sound that you've heard Ron Rivera disseminate, which is that he is beyond frustrated, and that got a lot of attention around the league. It was a headline on ESPN's NFL page about Ron Rivera being beyond frustrated that so many Washington players are unvaccinated and about him being immune deficient. So TJ Ward decides that he thinks Ron Rivera shouldn't be blaming the players for his lifelong health decisions, as if he chose cancer. I don't know that in the history of Twitter, I'm sure there's a top 10 list of stupid, mean-spirited tweets in the history of Twitter, more likely than not. This one, I don't know if it's top 10, but it would have been in consideration for it. He kept burying himself deeper and deeper all night long. And then ultimately it would appear as if he deleted those original tweets. He did say an hour or so after he was absolutely obliterated on Twitter. It was one of those, Brendan, if you went through the actual tweet and just read the responses, you couldn't find one that supported him. Usually there are some other people out there as ignorant and as stupid and as mean-spirited as the person sending the tweet to agree with, or maybe even some jokesters being contrarian. In this particular case, you couldn't find one. He came back a little while later and said, "I'm going to address this one more time. I was not trying to be insensitive to anyone affected by cancer, E-F-F-E-C-T-E-T-E-D. Not the proper spelling of affected by cancer. I know you don't chose to get cancer. That would be choose. And I tried to clear that up. If you know me in my career, you know that my support is for cancer people dealing with it. I've been affected." Again, E-F-F-E-C-T-E-D. Wow. TJ Ward on Ron Rivera. Man, your life decisions led to that cancer, bro. It's your fault. Don't be busting on players and these low vaccination rates. They take care of themselves. You didn't take care of yourself. That's why you got cancer. One of the worst and more ignorant tweets in a long time. I think that this ultimately will pass. I don't think that this will be like some sort of major ongoing issue between Ron Rivera and his players. I don't even think, to be honest with you, that Ron Rivera was really shouting down his players. I think that he absolutely is sort of mystified as to why 40% of them, with all of the information that the team's gone out of their way to provide their players. They had a world-leading immunologist in about a month and a half or 2 months ago to answer any questions and to sort of present the case as to why players should get vaccinated. I've said this all along. I don't have I'm not surprised by young, fit, professional athletes being resistant to the vaccination. These are people that tend to worry about every single thing they put into their body, much more so than the average 25-year-old or 28-year-old. So I'm not surprised that many players are against getting vaccinated, especially when you consider what the actual numbers are in terms of the threat. They're super, super low. I mean, there are much greater threats to 25-year-old fit people without underlying conditions than COVID. However, being a part of something and being a part of a team where there are rules in place and it hasn't been mandated makes the conversation a different one. They do have a choice. You know, they have the choice, but they do not and are not, immune, if you will, to consequence with that choice. I don't think Ron would ever let this divide the team. I think Ron will address the team and probably already did with respect to this. Probably continues to push the importance of this. Probably is a little bit frustrated as to why they don't get it. Maybe even deep down starting to wonder, do we have the maturity? Do we have the intelligence as a team to be a champion? You know, that's one of those things that's not crazy to question. If you've got 40% of your team not willing to get even the first shot of a vaccine that's pretty much across the board proven to be incredibly safe, even if you don't feel like you absolutely need it, but it provides your team a better chance of winning, you start to wonder, do we have the maturity? Are we smart enough? You'll hear him talk about some of those things in terms of his biggest concerns when he joins us at 8 with the recorded interview. I did ask him at some point, you know, what are you concerned about? And you'll hear what he said about maturity and decision making. And maybe at the time he was referring to vaccinations. I didn't sense that when I was talking to him because we didn't have the report on the latest vaccination numbers. But while I totally understand his frustration and probably eye rolling and scratching of head over why 40% of his team isn't vaccinated and literally 83.5% of the rest of the league is, I don't think that this will turn into a big issue. I don't think he crossed some sort of line expressing an emotional frustration with it. I don't think this is going to become some big-time issue that frays the team. I don't see that. If you do, tweet me, at Kevin Sheehan DC, because I thought about whether or not this was, Brendan, you know, a call topic about whether or not Ron Rivera's comments could potentially fray the team. I personally don't believe that that is in play with this. Do you?
I don't, but it's certainly not a good thing. I mean, he's immune compromised. He survived cancer, and 40% of his team is completely unwilling to listen to what he or experts have to say. It's not encouraging at all for this upcoming season.
It's not that they're well, there may be some that are unwilling to listen. There also may be some that have listened, that have read, and have still decided it's not for them. And the issue, though, again, is if you're in a standalone situation where you're not and your actions can't impact really anybody else for the most part, and you're not part of a team that has regulations and protocols in place that could put the team at a competitive disadvantage if you get COVID or if you get exposed to COVID. Remember, it's not just getting COVID for players who are unvaccinated. It's exposure to COVID that will immediately put them, you know, down for 10 days, which means a practice in a game unless it's the bye week. So if it ends up being a great player and it costs them a game, or if it leads to an outbreak that costs them a game, that costs them a playoff spot, that costs players on both teams, the team that he's a part of and the team that they're playing, paychecks, there is a level of choice that they have, but there's also a level of selfishness that goes along with the choice that they're making. And then you add that additional point, which is, hey, this coach that picked me, that is coaching me, beat cancer last year, but is still immune deficient and at risk more than anybody else maybe in our building. I don't know if that's true or not. And I'm not going to be the person that puts him at greater risk. Look, I'm not minimizing the conversation. I don't want to say the complexity of the conversation, because from my vantage point, it's really not that complex. But I do understand that people can feel differently for a lot of reasons. I think the number one reason to feel differently is if you are at a certain age and, by the way, have already had it and built up the antibodies. I could certainly understand that if you're a 24 or 25-year-old and you had it last year and you've built up a significant, you know, number of antibodies and your doctor has said, you've got antibodies, you're not going to get COVID again. Even if that doctor recommends the vaccination, I kind of understand that position. I still personally, if I were that person, would get it. Brendan, you're in your 20s. No, you're in your 30s. How old are you?
35, unfortunately.
You're 35. You've had COVID. You built up the antibodies. If you had said, I built up the antibodies, you know, even if I were to get it again, it would fight off any sort of serious illness because I was seriously ill, which probably means, right, that the viral load that you had, you probably ended up with more antibodies than some people that got COVID and were symptomless, correct?
Honestly, my doctor said that it was only going to be good for 6 months to a year, and we don't even know. So as soon as my 6 months were up, I got the vaccine.
Right.
I wasn't playing around.
Was the vaccine available before the 6 months were up?
It was, but you're not supposed to.
Did you hesitate before the 6 months were up at all?
No. They said I wasn't eligible until that point.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get it for the first 90 days until you're symptom-free.
Right.
So I basically had like a two-week period between the time where I could get it, the time where it was available, and the time where I did get it.
Brendan is a relatively young person compared to many of us, and he got it, and he got sick. He was with significant symptoms and hospitalized with COVID, which was what at this point? Was it a year ago or a little bit less than a year ago?
It was last November. It was early November.
No, that's right, November.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a big deal. I would love to know what players think. I guess at some point they'll be asked about that. They do not have to disclose the list of the 40% of their roster that isn't vaccinated. Of course, if you're a reporter and you have access to players, you can certainly ask. The player doesn't have to answer the question. I think this is one of those things that will pass. That would be my guess. And with a guy like Rivera, he won't let it turn in to a big deal. That would be my guess. Especially, I think, given his overall disposition with respect to his personal beliefs. Because I do think that, you know, he's frustrated and he doesn't get understand why players won't do it. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of issues that he probably is in total agreement with his players on. And I think he's bought some credibility over the last year for it not to turn into that big of an issue with their own players. It was a big issue to TJ Ward, however. That is honestly one of the dumbest tweets you'll ever see, and mean-spirited as well. Wasn't flippant, wasn't an attempted humor. It was just flat-out ignorant, as ignorant goes. All right, there's some other things we want to get to. The Nats situation, they won last night. That was good. Max Scherzer appears ready to be moved. We'll talk about to whom and when. And the big issue is Trey Turner. Do you trade Trey Turner or not? You know, Mike Rizzo and the Nationals, not necessarily Rizzo, but perhaps the Learners, could have moved Rendon, could have moved Bryce Harper, chose not to. They could have built up the farm system that is now, as Jesse Docherty told us the other day, ranked 30th in the league. We'll get to that in a little bit more. The Simone Biles situation. Got a lot to get to before we get to Rivera a little bit later on in the show. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. I want to tell you about MGM because MGM, as summer is heating up, is providing an opportunity that you should probably take advantage of. Sports betting at BetMGM heats up not only in the summer but as we approach the fall. If you sign up now using my bonus code, Kevin S., that's Kevin S. for this one. Your first wager is totally risk-free up to $600. Place your bets on all the exciting showdowns in MLB, MLS, and more sports from around the globe. And when you register with BetMGM, you'll also get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. From breathtaking goals to colossal home runs, the King of Sportsbooks takes every play to a new level of excitement. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter my bonus code Kevin S to get back up to $600 on your very first wager. With BetMGM, you're just a few taps away from turning game time into showtime. It's a new customer offer. It's paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older, D.C. and Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. If you've got a gambling problem, 1-800.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
522-4700.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
You know, the Nats won last night. They're only 7.5 out in the National League East, even though they are 8 games below 500. They held on last night for a 6-4 win in a crazy game. Trey Turner singled in the first inning and then scored on Josh Bell's 3-run homer that put the Nationals ahead to stay. That was the big moment in the game. And then Trey Turner was pulled from the game. Pulled from the game because of a positive COVID test and never got onto the field defensively. And then that 6-4 win over the Phillies with Brad Hand actually holding it down at the end. Meantime, Strasburg is done for the year with the diagnosis of neurogenic thoracic outlet syndrome. Doesn't sound good. He's going to have surgery Wednesday, and he should be, according to the team and the team statement, be ready for the start of spring training next year. Meantime, Victor Robles was hurt during the game. And we do know that Max Scherzer is on the trade block big time. This is the players that the Nats could move prior to the deadline on the 31st. Max Scherzer's at the top of the list, and there are multiple reports that Max Scherzer, that at least 8 teams, according to John Heyman, are in the mix for Scherzer at this point. Some of them want his health checked, obviously, because he got scratched from the last start before they make the move, but the Dodgers, Giants, Padres, Red Sox, Rays, Blue Jays, Astros, and Mets are all interested, according to Jason Stark. Heyman has reported that Scherzer wants the West Coast, that he'd like to go pitch for the National League West teams, one of the three National League West teams, to be a part of what is a really, really compelling race out West between the Giants, Dodgers, and Padres. The Padres are in third place in a division 15 games over 500. They would be the leader in the National League East, and they'd be only a game back in the National League Central. They're in third in the National League West. There have been intense games virtually every night, including last night between the Dodgers and the Giants. The Giants winning 2-1 in a game in which, if you watch the highlights this morning, I'm sure you weren't up watching it last night, but if you watch the highlights, it had the intensity of a playoff game. Third inning, 3-2 counts, the entire stadium standing. So Max Scherzer, according to Heyman, wants to be a part of that. He wants to go to one of those three West Coast teams where he's got a chance to win not only this year, but beyond. According to Heyman, Scherzer prefers to go to a team he could stay with on a possible extension. So any notion that Scherzer would then turn around and come back here seems to be off. Heyman knows this team. Heyman knows Scherzer. His reporting is usually spot on. Now, Scherzer does have to waive his no-trade protection, I believe, in all of this. But it really doesn't matter because Scherzer is willing to be dealt now. Tommy said to me on the podcast yesterday, this would be the trading of by far, you know, one of the top two most popular athletes in town. Ovechkin being one, and Ovechkin signed a contract extension, not surprising. We all knew that he would. And Scherzer. And I didn't really debate him on the podcast because I didn't feel like going down that path. I'm not really, I would have to think about it more, but right now in this town, I think Chase Young is very close to the top of the list in terms of the most popular players. I'm not talking about the most accomplished. I'm not talking about the best or the most talented, although you could put him in that conversation. But I actually think right now Chase Young would be in the mix with both of those players because it's always about the football team here. And you're kidding yourself if you don't think it is. Think about all three players being on the corner of some, you know, major intersection or major street in D.C. Who's got the longest line tomorrow for autographs? It's close. It's close between the three of them. But it looks like Max Scherzer will be dealt as long as he's healthy. And on some level, I actually would prefer Max Scherzer to be in, you know, a situation where we could watch him. And for his sake, he could be a part of the mix for teams that are contending this year. I do want to point out, though, not just because of the math, but the National League East stinks. It's not very good. The Mets aren't very good. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They lost to the Braves last night 12-5. They've lost 2 of 3 to the Braves in their 4-game set. They're not that great. The Braves and the Phillies aren't that good. The Nats, totally healthy. There's not a big difference between the Nats, totally healthy, which they can't be now with Strasburg down for the year. I understand that. And the other three teams. I wonder if still, you know, even after the Orioles' disaster of the weekend, if there's anybody in that organization that is just saying, just wait. We got 64 games left. Now they've got 62 left. We got a lot of games left against these teams. We got some players on our team. We're going to get some of these players back. We proved in June that when we're healthy, we're lethal. We went on that big tear against some good teams, too. Against some pretty good teams. But they are going to be sellers, and I understand that they should be. Look, the bottom line is over the years they've had a chance. They had a chance to be a seller on Harper in which they would have gotten a lot back. The Lerners opposed Rizzo and some of the higher-ups on that move. And even though ultimately, you know, you didn't want to get rid of Rendon, and fortunately they didn't. If they had, they would have had a much stronger farm system, but then again they wouldn't have won a World Series. By the way, Ken Rosenthal reporting the teams that are pursuing Scherzer believe the Nats want to act now, like either today or no later than tomorrow, so that they can have enough time to work through his no-trade clause. And Scherzer scheduled to start tomorrow, but that seems remote right now. Remember, he was scratched from his last start over the weekend against Baltimore with the right triceps injury. Certainly teams are going to look into that, but you had to be a little bit suspicious when he got scratched from that start to begin with. I think he's healthy more likely than not. And my guess personally is he's going to end up in LA, and you're going to have, you know, Walker Buehler, Kershaw, Scherzer, and the rest of them for the Dodgers. As they get to the postseason. It's going to be really fascinating when we get to October because you're going to have three teams from the National League West in the postseason more likely than not. And it'll be the Giants, Dodgers, Padres. Two of those teams will be in a one-game wild card to advance, by the way, into a series against the division winner because the wild card goes to the overall best record, and the National League West champion will more likely than not have the best record. Simone Biles is out of the next big event, too. The U.S. men's basketball team bounced back with a big win against the Iranians, or the Iranians, however you want to pronounce it, and Greg Popovich had something to say about the way the Iranians played. You'll hear both of those things when we come back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
Ron Rivera had his opening press conference at training camp yesterday and vented frustration with his team's low vaccination rates. According to reporting, including Nikki Javala, the Washington football team has a 60% vaccination rate, which means at least 60% of the players are either fully vaccinated or they're one shot on the way to a two-shot total vaccination. 40% of the players are not vaccinated. And Ron Rivera expressed with his immune deficiency how that impacted him and how much he was frustrated. Washington yesterday signed Logan Thomas to a three-year contract extension. We'll get to that in more detail coming up. Speaking of extensions, Alex Ovechkin is back in the fold. Five-year deal, $47.5 million to finish his career in Washington. The Nats won last night at Philadelphia, 6-4. Soto with another home run. The intrigue came after Trey Turner was pulled from the game shortly after scoring off of the Josh Bell three-run homer. He was pulled after it was learned that he had tested positive for COVID-19. All right, I want to get to the Simone Biles thing. It happened sort of late in our show yesterday, and it's a very interesting story. Look, I'm not that much into the Olympics right now. I'll be candid with you. I've watched here and there, but I think it's very hard to follow and figure out who's doing what, and even when you turn it on, you don't know if it's a preliminary or a race, and I'm sure that that's just me and not everybody else. But it's not necessarily for me this go-round. It seems also to lack sort of the juice with no fans there. There are a couple of events I'm interested in to a certain degree. I'm very happy Katie Ledecky won that incredibly long 1500 last night. But the story of the Olympics is Simone Biles. She was expected to lead the team, Team USA, to another Olympic gold in the team event. But minutes into the competition yesterday, she sat on the sidelines and withdrew. She came back a few minutes later, but was not warming up. And she was there to support her teammates. But she had withdrawn from the team competition. The U.S. team put out a statement that Biles had pulled out due to a medical issue initially, and then we learned later it was more of a mental issue, which I'll get to here in a moment. But the U.S. Gymnastics group put out a statement saying that she would be assessed daily to determine medical clearance for future competitions. Well, she's already this morning withdrawn from the individual all-around final, which was going to be held tomorrow. And the reason for that is that she can focus. She wants to be able to focus on her mental health. By the way, Team USA lost the competition against the Russians, the team competition, without her, a competition that if they had had her fully healthy, mentally, most believe that they would have won. Biles admitted as part of her press conference that the stress of competing at an Olympics in a pandemic year, all of it has sort of accumulated on her through the past year of lockdowns and restrictions, and it finally took its toll. She said, quote, "Today was really stressful. The workout this morning went okay. It was just the 5.5 hour wait. I was shaking and barely napped. I've never felt like this going into a competition before. I tried to go out, have fun, and after warming up in the back, I felt a little bit better. But once I came out here, I felt, no, the mental is not there. I need to let the girls do it and focus on myself." It was certainly a stunning end to that competition for all intents and purposes. And the fact that she's already withdrawn from the individual tomorrow, there's a pretty good chance that whatever future events there are this week, that she is out for the Olympics as a whole. I don't know how many people know just, let me put it in sort of this current context. You know, we've had these conversations now for a couple of months, but really a couple of years. You know, Naomi Osaka withdrew from the French Open, citing mental health concerns. Prior to that, remember, Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan in the NBA had both had issues. Kevin Love had a terrible panic attack in the middle of a November NBA game and had to leave the bench as Tyronn Lue was talking about defensive adjustments and noticed that Kevin Love seemed to be in distress. He went back and felt like he was on the verge of dying with a heart rate that had increased. And he's written about it and he's talked about it at length. DeMar DeRozan, you know, battled depression. This isn't the first time, you know, Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles aren't the first times that we've, they're not the first time that we've been hearing about athletes with mental health issues. Biles says, you know, she's going to take one day at a time. She talked about her mentals, that she didn't have her mentals yesterday. There wasn't a lot specific about what she was suffering from other than just sort of the pressure and the accumulation of the pressure of the event. She doesn't have an obligation to tell us whether or not she has some diagnosed mental health issue. You know, she doesn't have the U.S. team and Simone herself don't have to tell us if she's suffering from depression or if she's suffering from anxiety disorder or panic attack disorder or schizophrenia or any, you know, bipolar or any sort of diagnosed mental issue. She does not have an obligation. I'd be interested to know what it is specifically she's suffering from. I've had a lot of experience being... What'd you say?
She actually talked about it.
What did she say specifically?
So she's having what's known as the twisties. It's a gymnastics term. The Post just wrote up this story. Just came out like 10 minutes ago. It's a cute-sounding term, well-known in gymnastics community, describing a frightening predicament when you're in the air and you lose control of your body and you cannot control your spin through the air. Sometimes they twist when they hadn't planned to. Other times they stop midway through, just as Biles did going off in her one event. So apparently it is a known condition.
The twisties.
So you cannot control your body when you're moving in the air.
And this is a mental issue, not a physical one.
It's been compared to the yips.
Okay. But the yips, you can't hurt yourself.
Correct.
I would imagine with the twisties, you could really injure yourself seriously.
Yeah. If you're losing control and you land on your head or stumble and you break an ankle.
You're serious about this. It's called the twisties.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Look, I wanted to bring up this story for two reasons. I don't have a real strong opinion other than people who suffer from legitimate mental illness. These are real things for those of you who don't understand that they are real things. And more should be learned about what many of these people are doing. I do think, and I'm not going to sit here and cheer all of the pullouts and the bravery and the courage to do so necessarily. But I did think that Kevin Love, and I did think, and perhaps in this particular case, I will think that there was a lot of courage shown by her. But I do want to bring this to everybody's memory. She was one of the people that dealt with the Larry Nassar situation. Larry Nassar, sentenced, on multiple charges of child pornography and sex crimes for sexually abusing athletes, including Simone Biles, over several decades. Let's not forget that, the U.S. gymnastics, USA Gymnastics, has been in a major state of dysfunction for many, many years now, as many of these instances with many of these gymnasts were not reported. A lot of these claims were ignored. There were years-long abuses doled out by Nassar and the U.S. Gymnastics Association, or whatever it's called. It might be USA Gymnastics or U.S. Gymnastics, failed to protect these athletes. There was no transparency during these things. There were early complaints about Nassar that were ignored. And Simone Biles was among the many young girls who had exposure to this monster of a person. I think a lot of people during the day yesterday, and as I was sort of following it to a certain degree, I kept wondering whether or not Nassar was a part of this. Was if Simone Biles was a part of it. She was. Allie Raceman, who is, quite the champion now beyond her Olympic years, came out in total support of Simone Biles, sort of understanding what Biles and many of these gymnasts have been through in the ordeal involving Nassar. Look, I think the other part of this is just, I know a lot of people say you can't quit in the middle of the competition. You've got to understand, if you've got a mental issue, if you believe that there is a risk of something happening, you've got to drop out long before and allow your team to compensate for that. I know a lot of people just judge it as quitting. Now, if there really is this diagnosis of the twisties and it puts her in sort of the path of physical harm, obviously you don't want somebody going through that. But it's interesting to sort of consider what the reaction in a comparable situation with a football player would be. What if a 24-year-old quarterback, because Simone Biles is 24 years old, what if a 24-year-old quarterback walked out of the game in the middle of the playoffs? That player would be vilified no matter what the diagnosis was. I do believe that in the moment. And I think part of that is just the perception that football players lack fragility, that there's less fragility there, than maybe with other athletes, you know, in particular, you know, women and in a lot of cases, girls who are gymnasts. But my only thought is if she's really suffering from sort of some mental illness, as was my thought with Naomi Osaka, get the help you need. It's a real thing. And many of us who have dealt with, you know, close ones that have gone through a lot of these things understand that it's not necessarily easy to just tough it out and man up. Let's get to some football next. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Team980.com, and also the Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.